I am very jealous of my cats, no doubt about it. Wish I could buy into their lifestyle, no doubt about it. So.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I also talked to Rodden Dietz up at Califon Animal Hospital.
Okay.
And they also do small pets. There are three veterinarians there,
mm-hmm.
and they handle a lot of large animals, horses, and alpacas, llamas, that kind of sheep,
right.
that kind of thing, which one of the veterinarians goes out to the farm, of course.
Yeah, I was going to ask, they have to do some house calls. It's hard to get the horse over there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
One interesting thing I picked up on, I wasn't aware of it. If I'd thought about it, I suppose it would be, but horses, when they travel,
yep.
Must have a certificate from the veterinarian.
Oh, really?
That they have been tested and everything is okay.
Did they say how often that would be?
I don't know.
That would be pretty tedious.
The period of time.
Yeah.
But certainly before any travel, you see them on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of travel between Hunterdon County and surrounding counties to Florida, for example.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of winter equestrian events going down in Florida. Sure.
Sure.
Nice.
Sure.
All right.
Anyway, they handle all of that and have been doing it for years. This Califon Animal Hospital has been around for many years. Back in the 80s, I believe it was founded.
Mm-hmm.
But they also do other things. They have a full laboratory and a pharmacy, and they'll do microchipping in animals,
mm-hmm.
Dental care, all kinds of dental care, which involves horses as well as smaller animals. They even do acupuncture.
Wow.
And provide hospice services for pet animals and euthanasia,
mm-hmm.
following that,
mm-hmm.
if necessary.
Wow. Okay. Gets
Califon Animal Hospital.
Yeah.
It's right on 513 there in Califon.
Okay.
And they go all over, from Mendham to Far Hills to Ringo's to Phillipsburg. They cover a wide area with the large animals.
Yeah, I imagine they have to be pretty flexible with where they're going, because
and fleet of foot.
Fleet of foot, yes. Never know when a horse is going to be very mad at you. And
she said there are not as many, I suppose you'd call them pet horses, as there used to be in the area. They take a lot of care, and a lot of people had one horse that they took care of.
Mm-hmm.
Or boarded or whatever, but that is not as popular as it once was.
Yeah, well, there's a concept now, I think, that's kind of taken a back seat to that, and that's that there's a way to lease the use of a horse today. People don't do.
Short a period of time. Or,
right.
Or you can go to various places and do riding or,
right.
or training or whatever.
Yep. So somebody will own it, or there'll be a group that owns it, and so you get to lease the time as opposed to owning a horse and having to deal with all the different other things you have to worry about.
Yeah. So. Day-to-day care.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to, Linda Wisniewski. She runs the Puppy Patch.
Okay.
In Annandale. It's on Route 22, just past Clinton Honda, and she's been running this for many years, I think about 10 years, but it's a doggy daycare center.
Okay.
We're live here in the studio. I am Georgine Trinkle, your host here at Hot and Hunterdon, and I'd like to welcome Tracy Heisler, the executive director from Casa Shaw.
Hello.
Hi, Tracy. Thanks for joining me in the studio today.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Well, we have a interesting show today. Today is April. It's not April Fool's Day. That was Saturday. So today is April 3rd. And while I was excited to have Tracy here this month, it's because it is Child Abuse Prevention Month. So we're going to be talking with Tracy about all the great things of CASA, some of the special initiatives they have going on now, along with some upcoming fundraisers that help support this great organization. And we'll do our quote, which is from Dr. Seuss today, because we're talking about children, and I don't think we could talk about children without talking about Dr. Seuss. There's so many great quotes that really connect us to the children, And the one today is, how did it get so late so soon? And he says that you'll miss the best things if you keep your eyes shut. So something to remember. Sometimes we have to open our eyes and look forward even when we are thinking about the past. So eyes open and in front of us. We do have to do a little commercial, and then I'll be back to give you the weather for today. Stay with us.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
All right, and what is the weather today? Well, I can't do any April Fool's jokes here because it's not April Fool's, but we do have mild temperatures today. Tracy and I were taking a little walk down Main Street here in Flemington, and we were hoping for the sun, but it was warm enough to feel like we wanted to be outside and not inside, and around 40 degrees, I guess, though it really felt a lot warmer, so maybe that's the low for tonight. We're going to look at some more rain after 10 p.m., and there is a flood watch or warning for some of our counties in New Jersey, so take a look at your local weather. Did have a lot of rain last week, and the potential is for some additional rain this evening, which can be heavy at times, and that could possibly be between a half and three quarters of an inch. So on top of the 3 inches of rain that fell in parts of New Jersey last week, we really are looking at 4 inches of rain in a week. And even though we have dry conditions, it's hard to take all of that rain at once. So please look and see if you are in a flood watch area. Tuesday, we have rain and perhaps a thunderstorm before 9. And then some of the storms could be producing heavy rainfall after 9 a.m. So it looks like I'm not giving you the best forecast if you were looking for some sunny skies. But hang in there, because Wednesday, we have a sunny forecast with a high of 66. Happy to say there's no rain in the forecast on Wednesday. If you want to call in sick, Wednesday should definitely be the day, because Thursday we are back to heavy rain showers Thursday night, and Friday showers are likely again. So our temperatures are okay. Today's, I want to say, a little bit on the balmy side. And tomorrow we're looking at a high of 71, so that is very warm. Tuesday's high is 71. So the sunny day that you're going to perhaps take a little sick day is 66. And the rest of the week is in our 50s, 55 on Thursday, and only a high of 50 on Friday with some showers likely again. So we know that today and Wednesday we really have to enjoy the sunshine. So I know Tracy's very interested in what the weather is the next few days. We'll be back to tell you why. Stay with us here at Hot and Hunterdon.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
fast as you can be, deep the shade of blue.
And we're back here in the studio today with Tracy Heisler, the executive director of Casa Shaw. Tracy, everyone wants to know, what is Casa Shaw? What is this?
Casa Shaw stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties, New Jersey, Inc. is our official name. So Casa Shaw was a lot easier to say. We are a nonprofit organization with our primary office in Washington and a satellite office in Bridgewater that recruits, screens, trains, and supervises community volunteers to act as advocates in court for children who have been abused or neglected and are living in the foster care system.
And this month, April, is Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Yes. And so we really want everybody in the Tri-Counties to at least spend a minute thinking about some of these kids. I recently did a presentation at one of the Rotary Clubs, and one of the participants said, wow, you know, I guess because it's not happening in my family, it's nothing I ever really thought about. And I think that he really encapsulated a lot of the problem that we have of raising awareness is that if it's not happening to you, you don't think about it. But the reality is we have more than 500 children in Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren who live in foster care every year because of abuse or neglect. That's so great that it's too unsafe for them to be in the home.
Now, Tracy, what are the ages of foster care? Is that from infant to 18?
It's actually birth to 21.
Birth to 21.
And at 18, kids have the option to stay till they're 21 or to sign themselves out. One of the bigger problems is at 18, many of them are just so sick of the system and of people being in their lives that they do sign themselves out. But then they lose a lot of those benefits of staying till they're 21, like a subsidy for college, health insurance, some supplemental funding for housing, transportation. But if you think about all those fundamental needs and how important that is, and then you think about they would give all of that up just to have some freedom and have some say in what happens in their lives, you can see how important it is to these kids to have at least some measure of control.
And I think the youth correctional facilities are like 18 to 24, some of them. And yet when we have children in foster care that haven't had support their entire lives at 21, if they are willing to stay in until 21, we sign them off at 21.
Yeah. And I have often said, you know, if I were to turn my 18-year-old out and say, okay, bye, they'd die. You know, they really need more at that age than kids in care actually get.
And how you picked Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren, because it doesn't go, it's not the vicinage, right?
It is, or the is vicinage,
it
yeah.
is. Okay.
And for those of your listeners who aren't familiar with what a vicinage is, it's an antiquated English term that references a court jurisdiction. So Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren is one of two tri-county vicinages in the state of New Jersey. The other is Gloucester, Cumberland, Salem. Most CASA programs cover one county. We have three.
Which is really difficult because we have the rural area spread out, the mileage, and then the uniqueness of each community. The resources we have in Somerset are not the same in Hunterdon or in Warren.
Absolutely true, yeah.
And so training becomes difficult as well because you have to have trainers who are able to talk about the resources either in just one of those counties or all of those counties.
Yeah, and we try to be fair to all of our volunteers and move our trainings around in between the tri-counties so that it's not so much of a hardship for somebody who lives in southern Somerset to come all the way up to, you know, the middle of Warren every time. So we'll switch. In the fall, we do Somerset County. In the spring, we do Hunterdon County. And then we do the weekends up in Washington and Warren County. This year, we've added a new training. It's a condensed summer training from Monday through Saturday, 6 hours, 9 to 3, instead of spreading it out over a couple of months. And that one's going to be in Clinton this year. So this is the first time we're trying this. We'll see how it goes. So if you have availability during the day and you want to do this, give me a call.
Excellent. So for people who are unfamiliar with the foster care system, because of a variety of reasons, which could be neglect, it could be a parent being overwhelmed, a court situation where they may be incarcerated, children end up in the foster system.
And I'll tell you, 80% at least of our cases involved the use of illegal substances. And particularly, we've seen a big spike in heroin. And for the first time, we're seeing dead parents, not just impaired parents, from heroin overdoses. It used to be 10 years ago, alcohol, marijuana, occasional cocaine. Now it's heroin. That's the big dog.
And unfortunately, that becomes an issue with fatalities with the opiate overdoses, which are higher and skyrocketing daily. The number of even the saves end up, you know, temporarily providing an opportunity for someone to go into recovery. But we know that that's a huge issue, the opiate issue in New Jersey and across the country, that's resulting in deaths, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that there's so much attention being paid to the issue, and there's a lot of investment that's going into helping people to beat the addiction. The reality is that heroin's a very difficult thing to get off of, and the relapse rate is incredible. And that's one of the inherent tensions that we have between the child welfare system and the recovery system. We know that relapse is part of recovery, and it's very difficult for an addict to get through that. But in the court system, you have a finite period of time, and every time a parent relapses, it's a strike against them. And so there are certainly people in our community, about half of the families that we serve, whose children end up being put up for adoption because they can't get it together with their addiction. So prevention is a wonderful thing. So if you're listening and you're thinking about starting down this road, don't go.
It's a twisted road with no good ending to it and a lot of cliffs. And unfortunately, we're seeing the impact of drug use and abuse in every facet of social service, including with the court systems and with the children, which are always, you know, it's terrible to not know where the resources are and to be battling an addiction and not have recovery support, and then perhaps also be involved in the criminal system for those things. And what we have left are the children.
Exactly. And, you know, every county in the state has these family success centers, and I would really like to see more people engage with them as a means of strengthening vulnerable families and helping to prevent tragedies like this before they happen. One of the goals that I have during April, which, as you noted, is Child Abuse Prevention Month, is to talk about ways that we in the community can be a help. I mean, there are a lot of people who don't have these issues in their family, and they don't think about any role that they may have, but you do. We all have a role to play in preventing child abuse. Some of the things that you can do is babysit, give a struggling parent a break, take over a meal, be a receptive sounding board, because parenting is hard and it can be isolating, and there's no manual, but there's a lot of judgment too about how we do things. And if we can set some of that aside and instead help and educate and support and be there for struggling parents till they can get over that hurdle, that would be going a long, long way to preventing child abuse and neglect.
We're going to talk more about this for Child Abuse Prevention Month with Tracy Heisler, Executive Director of CASA Shaw. Stay with us.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use,
Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back here in the studio, talking with Tracy Heisler, Executive Director from CASA Shaw for Child Abuse Prevention Month. And I did allude earlier in our segment that you might be interested to know about the weather. And then we never went back to that. So we should just pause for a moment when we're talking about the organization and say why you were concerned about the weather.
Sure. Our board president is a young woman named Alice Kondo. And Alice lives in Somerville. And several months ago, she was trying to think of ways to raise awareness about this issue of child abuse and neglect. And the idea that she hit upon and she's actually doing is she's walking from the courthouse in Belvedere to the courthouse in Flemington to the courthouse in Somerville all of this week. So if you see a lady in a blue jacket with short black hair and a big backpack walking down the highway, beep and say hi and show her some love, because this is a really brave thing that she's doing, particularly with the rains coming.
And she's doing this by herself just to show awareness and support of children that have been abused or are in the system?
Yes, and as she's stopping in all the different towns along the way and talking with different businesses in the community and sharing information about what CASA is and does and how we help these kids. So Saturday we were in Belvedere, Sunday she was in Washington, today she's been in Clinton, and she's heading to Flemington for tomorrow.
And you have a lot going on tomorrow in Flemington as well.
We do. Actually, even before that, tomorrow morning, our new class of volunteers are being sworn in at the Somerset County Courthouse. So we're really excited about that at 9 a.m. But we also, each of the freeholders in the tri-counties have proclaimed April Child Abuse Prevention Month. And so we have our proclamation in Hunterdon County tomorrow evening. If you're out and about and you want to give Alice a cheer, she'll be at the courthouse at 3:30 in anticipation of the proclamation at 4:30.
It's great when the elected officials and the governing bodies are able to bring some awareness, because as you stated when we first began talking about this today, if you're not involved in the system, you don't have a personal experience, most people aren't thinking about it. It doesn't come up on their radar. It's not something that they are involved in, and therefore they're not knowledgeable about it.
Well, and I think part of it, too, statistically, here in the United States, somewhere between 1 in 3 and 1 in 4 children will be victims of abuse in childhood through age 18. So that's a third of our population who have experienced some kind of catastrophic event that has marred their childhood. But we don't ever shine a light on it. We're ashamed of it. We don't talk about it. And it's kept secret. And I think that of the people that are listening to this now, if they really knew the other people in their lives, they would find that this has impacted so many of their peers in a way that they had no idea about. And that's one of my goals, too, is to open up the conversation about child abuse and neglect, take away the shame and the stigma from adult survivors, and to get supports and resources in for kids who are going through this so that they don't go through years of feeling like they have secrets that they have to hide for people to accept them, for people to love them, and to think that they're okay.
And when we talk about child abuse and being able to have that model of prevention, we also have to think about our systems, too. We have seen, unfortunately, so many human trafficking stories and stories of just young people with sexual trafficking. And recently, there was an investigation, and it continues, into a school in New Jersey in Passaic County with human trafficking for these children. So while 1 in 4 people will have had some type of abuse as a child, we're all as a community impacted by the abuses of children, if it's either because of a parent using drugs, making sure that we have tips, we give the police, we don't allow there to be drug sales or trades in our neighborhood, that we are active and alert, that if we feel something is, you know, if you're a parent and you're interacting with other children or parents, and really this is how that story in Patterson broke. It was because parents who had other children involved felt like these children were hungry or they weren't getting the things that they needed. It's to shine a light on that.
Absolutely. And here in Hunterdon County, we don't always think about child abuse or neglect. We're a relatively affluent community, and there's good social services that we have in place. But just last week or two alone, there were 3 men who were arrested for child sexual abuse right here. And that's in a week. So if you think that it doesn't happen in your community, you're wrong. It does. It happens in every town, every county, every state in the country. And the reason that so many of these guys continue to offend is because they recognize that it's an uncomfortable, ugly thing. We don't ever want to be the one who accuses someone and be wrong. We don't want to hurt people's feelings or offend. And that's all well and good, but you have to be open as a community that these things happen and that we address them head on instead of pretending that they don't.
And I think also it's important to make sure people know if they are in a situation that there are hotlines, there are prevention programs they can go to, that there are trained counselors that even when you don't talk about this and you become an adult and you've not addressed this, it comes out in other ways. And there are a lot of resources, maybe not a lot, there are some resources, and we would encourage anyone who's had an experience to be able to share it. And in some cases, we are able to see people who weren't able to talk about it when it happened, but as an adult, they were able to share their information. You never know how your story could help someone else, and it's never too late to tell your story.
It's not. And I read a study a few years ago that the average age for someone to disclose that they had been sexually abused as a child, 42 years old. And when you think about carrying around that weight on your heart and on your mind for 42 years, that's unimaginable. So last week, several of my staff went to the Children in Court trainings that we had in Princeton. And one of the courses that I went to was on trauma-informed care. I sit on a work group in Somerset County to bring trauma-informed care to the schools, to law enforcement, to medical professionals, first responders, so that they recognize that kids who have been traumatized respond differently than kids who haven't, and they may not understand what they're seeing and re-traumatize a child. So one of the things that came out of the workshop that I thought was really brilliant, and I share this with you for any of your listeners who have trauma, who have been traumatized and who are looking for therapy, there is an evidence-based program out of Rutgers, and it's called Trauma-Informed Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, TICBT. And if you Google TICBT, they do have therapists who can help you. There's no need to suffer anymore with what you've experienced. You can get help.
We're going to make sure we put that information on our Facebook page. We do have to take a news break. I know there's some things going on in the world today that everyone wants to hear about. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about the day-to-day operation of Casa Shaw and how you can get involved. Stay with us.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We're headed to a world where you don't need one person from the other side to pick a judge. And what does that mean? That means the judges are going to be more ideological, not less.
Senator Lindsey Graham and the Senate Judiciary Committee, as the committee voted to pass Neil Gorsuch to the full Senate on a party line vote. Graham said the Democrats' planned obstruction of the vote to put Gorsuch in the Supreme Court will cause permanent damage to the U.S. Senate.
I think the damage done to the Senate is going to be real.
It has been uncovered that President Obama's former National Security Advisor Susan Rice requested intelligence agencies to give her the names of U.S. citizens caught in raw intelligence reports, especially those connected to the Trump campaign and transition. While this doesn't mean President Obama himself knew what was going on, it does mean somebody who reports directly to the president was being given names and information and what the conversations were about. More news online at usaradio.com.
Listen, this whole do-it-yourself thing is fine for some projects, but when it comes to window coverings, not so much.
Tell me about it. I did some do-it-yourself shades that are best described as uneven and twisted.
Yeah, I've seen them. That's why I'm going with Budget Blinds.
That's a style and service for every budget people, right?
Yeah, and that is for real. Budget Blinds has no surprises pricing and a no-questions-asked warranty. The best in the business.
No surprises pricing and a no-questions-asked warranty?
No-brainer, right?
So Budget Blinds comes in, measures everything, orders for you, then they install it all?
It's a beautiful thing. And now you can get up to $500 off on Signature Series window coverings.
Another no-brainer. Number, please.
855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or go online to budgetblinds.com.
Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS and get the experts to do it for you at a price that fits your budget.
Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now.
Offer good on selected products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Some restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
The new head of the Democratic National Committee coming under fire for very vulgar comments this weekend. Here's the story from Lisa Carter.
Using some profanity at the New Jersey rally on Friday, DNC Chair Tom Perez said that, quote, Donald Trump, you don't stand for our values. You didn't win this election. RNC Chair Rona Romney McDaniel says Perez should not be trying to delegitimize the election by suggesting that President Trump did not actually win. McDaniel called Perez's comments deeply concerning. Perez was elected to head up the DNC back in February.
President Trump meeting at the White House today with Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, the president of Egypt. The fight against ISIS and Israeli-Palestinian conflicts among the items on the agenda. Apple may be ready to be a big player in the premium subscription TV business. Tech News website Recode reports Apple's have conversations with HBO, Showtime, and Starz about selling offerings in a combined package. The premium bundle will be a standalone service like Netflix. USA Radio News.
Oh, fresh powder. I'll get the skis.
Ugh, I can't.
Winter nasal congestion. Is it A, cold, B, sinus pressure, C, allergies?
I'm not sure.
For all of the above, the answer is D, Allegra D, a maximum strength decongestant plus a powerful non-drowsy antihistamine for 24 hours of relief.
Feel better?
Yep. Feel like racing?
Hey, wait!
This winter, the answer is Allegra D. Look for Allegra D at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed.
A movement now beginning in California to remove the governor from office. Here's Jason Campadonia.
A petition to recall Governor Jerry Brown has been making its way around the internet. The petition on change.org has nearly 50,000 supporters as of this morning. The author of the petition says Brown's gun-grabbing laws are unconstitutional and his economic decisions are bankrupting the state, causing businesses to go elsewhere. Several people are voicing their opinion of Brown on the website, saying letting criminals out of jail is making the state less safe. Jason Campidonia, Los Angeles.
If you've bought a Hunt's chili kit, you need to take it back to the store because there's been a voluntary recall. Mark Mayfield has details.
The voluntary recall was announced yesterday. The Food and Drug Administration says a supplier told the company there could be salmonella in the chili seasoning. Now, salmonella has turned up in the finished product, but the company is recalling the chili kits out of what it calls an abundance of caution. People who bought a Hunt's chili kit should return the product to the store where they bought it.
One person who was watching the Ecuadorian election very closely was WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. He now knows he's going to get to stay in asylum at Ecuador's London embassy. The win Sunday by leftist candidate Lenin Moreno means that Assange won't wear out his welcome. Losing right-wing candidate Guillermo Lasso had vowed to kick Assange out of the embassy within 30 days of taking office. Assange has been holed up at the embassy in London for 5 years to avoid being taken to Sweden to answer charges in an investigation. USA Radio News.
A shot in the dark, I woke up to find you had broke all the rules and you changed your mind. Didn't I love you good? Didn't I love you right?
And we're back here in the studio. I am your host, Georgine Trickham, with Tracy Heisler from Casa Shaw. And we're talking about child abuse prevention and being able to speak out and find some of the great resources. And certainly if you want to call into the studio, our number here is 908-237-0410. I even know how to use those buttons here on the phone, and we can certainly take questions from callers. And we wanted to dive into the work of Casa Shaw because we do know from our experiences that there are a lot of children that are in the foster system and that you're serving three counties. And we talked about that a little bit today. But once the children are in the foster system, how does the work of Casa come into play?
So Casa volunteers are appointed by a family court judge to children in care. So this court order gives the volunteer access to all of the children's DCP&P records, to their school records, gives them access to any kind of information in regards to these kids. So while the advocate visits with the child at least once every 30 days to find out how they're doing, to find out what the children want the judge to know, to see if there's any concerns that they have, far more of an advocate's time is spent collecting information about the child from these other resources. And so they start to put together a picture of how is this child doing, what is it that they need, what is it that they don't have, and start formulating recommendations for the judge so that the judge can intervene and order these different services for children. And it's a highly effective program, this cycle of information gathering and reporting and then monitoring after the judge issues an order. Of the children that we have served over the last 11 years, about 3 to 3.5% have come back into foster care, as opposed to somewhere between 12 to 23%, depending on the reporter, for kids who go home without an advocate, end up back in the system within a year.
1 year?
Mm-hmm.
In 1 year, they're back in the system.
Yep.
Without an advocate.
Yep. So kids, there have been a number of studies about CASA and the effectiveness of it, and the fact that kids with an advocate tend to have far more services in place and supports in place. One of our primary goals when we first get involved is to assess, how do we stabilize this child? What are their unmet needs? Because we recognize that in addition to being traumatized by whatever happened at home, being put into foster care in and of itself is a trauma. You're living with strangers who eat different foods, have different smells, have different rules. who, and for kids who already have trust issues, that's a really traumatic experience.
And how do the volunteers learn how to cope with gathering the information and then with all of the issues that come from working with a child that has had a traumatic experience and then is with another family?
Yeah. We offer our advocates 36 hours of in-class pre-service training to help them learn the fundamentals of child development, different kinds of challenges that face families, how to interview people, how to write court reports, that kind of thing. But we also encourage advocates to be very aware of their boundaries and self-care, because once they lose their objectivity, they are no longer an effective advocate for this child. It becomes about a different story instead of the child's story. So all of our advocates are supported by peer coordinators or case supervisors who offer them feedback, who offer them support, who give them guidance, and are there to be a listener, a sounding board. We had a somebody who came in from an IEP last week just in tears because she was so concerned about the well-being of the children and had concerns about the placement that they were in. And we had to talk about it because sometimes, you know, this will tug at your heart. And we recognize that there has to be a level of professional objectivity and distance, because as much as we care, we can't break our hearts over it either, because then we have two casualties instead of one. So we do offer a great deal of support and a great deal of guidance.
It's a really hard thing to do, and not to have a broken heart or not to show that you have a broken heart so you can give the appearance of being objective and professional. Yeah. When you're dying inside, because there's nothing worse than seeing children suffer and seeing children in an environment where they're not going to thrive, or they have so many barriers to just the simple things that we all take for granted.
And I think one of the most tragic things is when you see a kid who's given up hope and a kid who has started down their own dark path because they don't feel like there's anybody who's really going to be there for them. And that's what breaks my heart.
And I know in my experience, it is the children that have the expectations of failure. And when you start believing in them, they don't want you to, because they don't know what to do with that. They're used to failing and they're used to being considered a failure, and they're comfortable with that. That's all they know.
And I'm so sorry. I'm so glad you brought that up, because one of the things that we have been doing over the last few years, we created a program called the Traveling Tutors, specifically because so many of our kids have that mindset of, I can't learn, and I'm going to be stupid my whole life. So the tutors are CASA volunteers who have educational backgrounds, who we are paying as subcontractors, I guess. You would say they're not functioning as CASAs, they're functioning as tutors. But they're traveling to the children's home, trying to figure out how that child learns, what are the barriers for them, and then finding really innovative strategies to help them succeed. Because when they start succeeding, they start building on those successes and start believing that they can do it. And to me, that is a great gift that they're giving them.
Absolutely. And they are used to failure. So when we can show them a success, it's important to show them another success and to build on that from the first success that they've had. And then they get used to that. And then the way they used to think about failure can get them to see for success.
There's more possible for them than they ever thought that there could be.
Absolutely. Now, we do have to take a quick break here in the studio, but we'll be back to talk more with Tracy. Stay with us.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Times my body, I worry, I throw my fear around, but this morning, there's a calm I can't explain, the rock candy's melted, only diamonds now remain, ooh.
And we're back here at Hot and Hunterdon with Tracy Heisler, the executive director for Casa Shaw, talking about the need and some of the great outcomes that Casa Shaw has been able to demonstrate. And many of these programs have been around since your organization has started about 10 years ago. And with those great outcomes, I assume that there is a big money tree that is planted in your yard and you have the resources that you need financially to be able to do the trainings for the volunteers and the support services so that these children are successful?
I'll tell you, wherever the big money tree is, that's where I want to go. In order to do the work that we do, like all nonprofits, we have to raise money. And while we do receive some funding from the New Jersey State Legislature for every dollar that we receive of state funds, CASA raises three more. So some of the things that we do, we here in Flemington, we have been partnering for the last few years with Comic Fusion over at Turntable Junction, which is a really great community partner that does a superhero day for us with artists doing comic sketches. They have an auction and music and food, and it's just a really fun day. It'll be in August this year. So if you're out and about with your family and this is an issue that's of interest to you, come and support Comic Fusion and their help for us. In October, we have a comedy night, and in May, usually April, but this year it's May 5th, we have Casablanca, which is a casino night at the Imperia in Somerset. If you like to gamble, it is a lot of fun. It's Atlantic City-style gaming with roulette and Texas Hold'em and craps and all kinds of things. And you don't play for money. You play for tickets. And then we have tricky prizes that you can win and a silent auction and 50-50 and food and music and dancing. And it's a good night. So in addition to that, we've been really fortunate to have community partners and foundations that donate to CASA and support our child advocacy mission. And in fact, I'm really proud to announce here during Child Abuse Prevention Month that we are now serving 100% of children here in Hunterdon County in need of an advocate. This is only the third county in the state behind Morris and Sussex to be able to do that.
Congratulations, Tracy, for finding the resources for these children so that they can achieve the outcomes and have the support of a CASA volunteer, which we know makes a difference. And I think that most people that aren't involved in the system, in social service, in funding appropriations, I think that they are misinformed about funding and the way it flows. And I think that a lot of people would assume that your organization would have some designated funding beyond just a legislative appropriation, but some, you know, funding from some of the many different state organizations. So it's important to be able to explain to our listeners that that money does not flow on the tree. We're, of course, being sarcastic. We know there's no yeah. money tree, but the truth is that a lot of social service organizations do have funding that they compete for or they go out to bid for, but the services of CASA Shaw do not fall under any department of the state, but are, you know, just through the small appropriation.
That's true. And, you know, any significant funding that we get, it's grant driven. I have to, you know, write a grant, compete, as you mentioned, and then provide outcomes to our funders of, you know, this is how many children we serve, this is how many we're, you know, found permanency, this is how many we're able to be stabilized and get services.
And those grants are for WRAP services because the mission of the organization, there's no funding for that.
Exactly.
So you have to create new work and do work that's in addition to what your mission is in order to bring in funding.
Yes. And the one of the biggest sources of funding for us are smaller private donations from individuals who care about the work that we do. Some of the other ways that people have been able to help, because we recognize that not everybody has resources that they can donate, but we have a number of community partners who have helped with lots of things, like donating dolls. And right now the Courier News is making doll clothes for all of our 18-inch dolls so that our girls have outfits that they can change their babies into. The Girl Scouts in Tewksbury have been collecting school supplies for the fall for our children. So if you want to help and you can buy me a backpack, I'll come get it from you. But we could use backpacks for the fall for all of our kids. There is a group in Bridgewater, the Piece Together Quilters, who made quilts for our kids and then put their names on them so they couldn't get lost in the foster home. And for our older youth, they've been making drawstring laundry bags so that they can carry their things in and their own bag with their name on it and not in a garbage bag like many of our kids have to do when they're moved from place to place. So I'm so heartened by the love that the community has for these kids, although the kids don't always see it. So one of our other messages when we talk to children in the schools is to reach out and be a friend to some of these children who, because they're in all of our schools. They're here in Flemington, they're in Califon, they're in Bridgewater, they're in Somerville, they're in Washington. They're in our schools, they're friends with our children. They're sometimes there for a very short time if the placement changes. And it's in all of our interests to be inclusive, to be supportive, to be loving, and to not reinforce the sense of isolation and shame that these kids experience through no fault of their own. They did nothing. And I in December, I spoke at the William Annan Middle School in Basking Ridge, and I was blown away with the level of empathy and kindness that those children had. They actively talk in their school about helping other kids in care, you know, kids who are in care who come through. If there's somebody who's struggling, it's a no-bullying zone. So the kids are all very aware of what the expectations are of behavior, and they've risen to it beautifully. I was so impressed.
And that's really what we need to do. We need to make sure we continue to have conversations, that we continue to have these expectations that someone needs to care for these children.
Mm-hmm. And that they are part of our community. We like to think of buckets of others, you know, of people, nameless, faceless people that we don't know who are out to do us harm. But the reality that these are our children, and we have a responsibility towards them. Even if they're not ours biologically, they are still part of our community.
And how would you encourage people to get involved? If they're not familiar with the system, they're not a CASA volunteer, they're not connected to anything, what would be some good first steps people could take?
You can look around in your own community. Are there parents who are struggling who maybe you could be a support for? If you're in a position where you have time and you can volunteer, that's fantastic. We're always looking for new advocates and new board members, particularly advocates of color. There's a disproportionate number of African-American children in particular in the system, and we need more African-American advocates who can be a voice for them in court. If you have more money than time, you can be a donor. If you like crafting, you can help with the initiatives that these lovely ladies in Somerset County have been doing of making things for the kids so that they feel like they're a part of. You can help with the backpack drive for the fall. There's lots you can do.
And that is an easy thing that you can do if you have a business or a company and you'd be willing to put up a box to collect new backpacks for Tracy. And part of that is so the kids don't feel different. We do that with our Norwest Cat Food Bank, with our backpack program with food, and we make sure those backpacks are no different than any other, because as optimistic as you are, Tracy, some children are cruel. And if they thought they were taking food home, there is the potential. I know you don't want to see it, but there is the potential for the children to be treated differently. And we want everyone to be treated equally. So the backpack drive would be great. You put a box in your office and like-minded people, I'm sure, would generously give and provide a backpack, especially if we get started now when there's no competition.
True
enough. Lots of good sales from now until August when everyone starts to buy them. So would definitely be a great, great way. And I know on your website and on your Facebook page, you have other examples of ways people can get involved, even coming out to support you when you're accepting the resolution tomorrow at Somerset. Or later in Flemington?
Well, Flemington is tomorrow.
Okay. Which, aren't you in the Somerset court tomorrow?
For the volunteers being sworn in.
Okay.
We have new volunteers who are being sworn in the morning.
And so people could come and cheer them on.
Yes, absolutely.
And then later they could come to Flemington?
Yes, at 4:30. The freeholders are issuing a proclamation naming April Child Abuse Prevention Month. And go blue for CASA. In April, we have asked our community partners, local businesses, to designate a day where they can either wear jeans or wear blue in support and solidarity for abused and neglected children, and make a small donation to CASA in honor of it.
Which is a great thing to do. And we are in April, which it's hard to believe with the weather we've been having. Although we're happy that it's April and we can support Child Abuse Prevention Month and talk, keep the conversation going in the community, make sure that we are able to talk about these things so they're not hidden, that we shine the light on them. Tracy, I certainly appreciate you spending your hour with me. You're always so busy and doing so many different things, but I really appreciate your time today, and we love to learn more about CASA and your work.
Thank you. And just as a shout out, I just got a text from Alice Kondo. She's now in Lebanon. So if you're in Lebanon and you see her walking with her backpack, beep and be supportive, because she's doing a tough thing.
Excellent. Well, we won't forget about her, and we'll post some things on Facebook. We have Ruth Ann Celebration Hour coming up in our next hour. Thanks for spending your hour with us. Have a great day.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We're headed to a world where you don't need one person from the other side to pick a judge. And what does that mean? That means the judges are going to be more ideological, not less.
Senator Lindsey Graham and the Senate Judiciary Committee, as the committee voted to pass Neil Gorsuch to the full Senate on a party-line vote. Graham said the Democrats' planned obstruction of the vote to put Gorsuch in the Supreme Court will cause permanent damage to the U.S. Senate.
I think the damage done to the Senate is going to be real.
It has been uncovered that President Obama's former National Security Advisor Susan Rice requested intelligence agencies to give her the names of U.S. citizens caught in raw intelligence reports, especially those connected to the Trump campaign and transition. While this doesn't mean President Obama himself knew what was going on, it does mean somebody who reports directly to the president was being given names and information and what the conversations were about. More news online at usaradio.com.
Listen, this whole do-it-yourself thing is fine for some projects, but when it comes to window coverings, not so much.